American Family News to the hour. I'm Pete Shagnon. A conservative military watchdog says she is not a fan of Defense Secretary Bill Gates and is not reassured about President-elect Barack Obama's decision to allow Bush's defense chief to continue in that role. AFN's Chad Groening has more.
President-elect Obama officially announced Gates' appointment at the same news conference that he named former Democratic presidential rival Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. The Gates selection fulfilled a campaign promise by Obama that he would name a Republican to his cabinet. But Elaine Donnelly, president of the Center for Military Readiness, says his appointment is not reassuring. She says he has presided over a Pentagon that has not adequately dealt with critical issues like women in combat.
A policy and law regarding female soldiers in or near direct ground combat. We also have a Department of Defense that has failed to adequately explain and defend the 1993 law that says homosexuals are not eligible to be in the armed forces. So I'm not a big fan of Bill Gates.
And Donna says she's even more concerned about a man who may eventually succeed Gates as SecDef.
Richard Danzig is an ideologue. He is very much in favor of homosexuals in the military. He's in favor of putting female sailors on submarines, regardless of the operational and health problems that would cause for pregnant women. He really looks on the military as a vehicle for social engineering.
Donnelly says there's a great deal of speculation that Danzig would step up to the SecDef post after a year or so when Gates leaves. I'm Chad Groening.
AP correspondent Sagar Magana reports Bill Richardson's on tap to be Commerce Secretary.
Democratic officials say the New Mexico governor will join President-elect Barack Obama at a news conference here in Chicago tomorrow for the announcement. Richardson has a varied resume, serving in President Clinton's cabinet as Energy Secretary and also as his UN ambassador. Richardson made his own presidential run this year before bowing out and backing Obama.
Chrysler says that without a federal loan, its cash could fall below the minimum amount required to run the company in the first quarter of next year. The company said in a plan for federal loans delivered to Congress on Tuesday that it would seek $7 billion from the government by December 31st. It also says that CEO Robert Nardelli already gets a $1 per year salary from Chrysler and receives no health care or other benefits. Chrysler LLC also says it did not pay salaried workers merit raises or performance bonuses this year and doesn't intend to pay them in 2009. All three automakers have submitted their plans to Congress, and the CEOs plan to attend hearings later this week in an effort to secure $25 billion in loans. Vermont lawmakers may soon deal with a proposal to legalize homosexual marriage. More on this report from AFN's Charlie Butts.
Vermont already has civil unions, which provides the same basic rights as traditional marriage. Still, Pastor Craig Benson of Take It to the People believes homosexual activists are not satisfied and will introduce a homosexual marriage bill again.
This is the usual suspects making the usual noises. We've gone through this two other cycles. Same people, same bill, the bill, the last two bienniums sitting on the wall in the committees, even though the primary committee that would move it is headed up by the most active gay rights activist in the state.
Vermont Governor Jim Douglas has said he will veto a homosexual marriage bill, believing there are other more important issues to deal with.
And that point of view is being taken by many in the Democrat Party at this time, which is very helpful. It might well keep this from going any place in the next 2 years.
Vermont's constitution makes it very difficult for the people to initiate a constitutional amendment. I'm Charlie Butts.
Some good news at the gas pump. Gas prices fell for the 20th week since mid-year and now average $1.81 per gallon, while a barrel of crude oil slid to just under $47 per barrel. That's down more than $100 per barrel from the record high set on July 11th of 2008. And those are your top stories on American Family News. For more on these stories and for the latest news around the clock, visit onenewsnow.com. I'm Pete Shagnon.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'll say hello to Tony there in the chat room. And we've jumped into Jeremiah chapter 30. The book fairly much changes the tenor of the message here. And I thought I'd just read a little bit from Henry here. The sermon which we have in this and the following chapters of a very different complexion from all those before. The prophet does indeed, by direction from God, change his voice. Most of what he had said hitherto was by way of reproof and threatening. But these two chapters are wholly taken up with the precious promises of a return out of captivity, and that typical of the glorious things reserved for the church in the days of the Messiah. The prophet is told not only to preach this, but to write it, because it is intended for the comfort of the generation to come. It is here promised that they should hereafter have a joyful restoration, though they were now in a great deal of pain and terror, though their oppressors were very strong, though a full end was made of other nations, and they were not restored, though all their means of their deliverance seemed to fail and be cut off, though God himself had sent them into captivity, and justly for their sins, though all about them looked upon their case as desperate, that after their joyful restoration they should have a happy settlement, that their city should be rebuilt, that their numbers increased, that their government be established, God's covenant with them renewed, and their enemies destroyed and cut off. So we get back into Jeremiah chapter 30 here. And we pick up here, "For thus saith the Lord," verse 5, "We have heard the voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask you now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." So what is the time of Jacob's trouble? Well, the time of Jacob's trouble is upon him at the time that Jeremiah is writing this. It says, "But they shall serve Yahuwah their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." Of course, this is a reference to the Messiah. "Therefore hear thou, therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith Yahuwah, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith Yahuwah, thy bruise incurable, thy wounds are grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased." Yes, he wounds us because he loves us. He wounded Israel because he loved them. And he drove all of their lovers away. Yes, all the black priests' robes and false prophets that comforted them with lies and license to sin. Yes, they were not there to comfort him. All of their lovers fled. They were not to be found. He continues, "Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thy iniquity. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. And I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith Yahuwah, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that maketh merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glory them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as formerly, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Now these prophecies that Jeremiah spoke, they came to pass. Jerusalem was rebuilt upon the heap. And of course the heap was the heap of its desolation. The heap was the destruction of the temple by Babylon. Because remember, Babylon came in two stages. One was to rule the people, to be their oppressor, to put tribute upon them, and to make him their servants. But when they rebelled, and they didn't heed the word of the prophet of God, who told them all these things would happen as they came to pass, and who told them what would come to pass if they continued in their rebellion, because they thought, well, we have peace under our oppressor. We can continue in our sin. We can continue to look to the arm of flesh. And then they were deceived. And then utter destruction came upon Jerusalem. So you have the heap. And now here he's prophesying that he's going to bring them back. They're going to build his house upon the heap, and the palace and the wall. It will all be rebuilt again. And this happened. This happened in history. Will it happen again? Well, there are the false prophets out there who say, well, the times of the Gentiles is over. And they call themselves Jews, and I know one of these men personally, and I know he is not. They call themselves Jews, but I'm sure he's deceived. I'm sure he genuinely believes that he has a revelation from God, and he discovered his Jewishness. I'm sure that he genuinely believes, but he prophesies falsely. He says that the times of the Gentiles ended when the Jews in modern Israel recaptured Jerusalem. But the heap is still there. They bow and they worship at stones in a wall of the ruins of what once was their temple mount. They don't have a temple. It hasn't been rebuilt. And the walls have not been rebuilt. And the heathen, the other nations, are more prominent on the temple mount than the Jews. The Jews don't have a temple there on the temple mount. But the God Allah has a temple on the temple mount. Does he not? Does not the Dome of the Ross, or the Dome of the Mosque, sit on the Temple Mount? Is not the Temple Mount in Jerusalem trodden down of Gentiles still, of the other nations? I'm sorry, the times of the Gentiles is not over. The times of the nations is not over, as proclaimed by Daniel the prophet and the Messiah himself, who said that Jerusalem would be trodden of the nations until the times of the nations be fulfilled. And we'll go back to Daniel's interpretation of the times of the nations from Nebuchadnezzar's dream, starting with the head of gold, because that image dream that Nebuchadnezzar had was an image dream of the times of the nations, starting with the head of Babylon, who came in and destroyed the Temple Mount and subjected the people and desolated the temple. And from that day until this day, it has not changed. From the day he came in, yes, there were Jews, or there were those of the tribe of Judah still there in the land. Yes, he carried away most of them captive, though, but some were in the land around about, those who didn't get carried away, those who were obedient, like Jeremiah, and some of his fellows who were allowed to live by the king of Babylon, allowed to live in peace, because they did not rebel. To this day, where we have some that are Jews, and they call themselves the Jews, and that are not, some that just practice Judaism, that religion, and call themselves Jews, though they don't have a drop of Semitic blood in their veins. And some of them may and not know it. I may and not know it. You may and not know it. And you may not. And not know whether you do or not. And that is the state. That is the state of the world. Only God knows. And even with that, even if you did know, there is nothing special about being Jewish, because you are not God's chosen people because you are a Jew by blood, or you can prove your Semitic roots, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And that's where I want to live. I want to live in his kingdom. So I will live by his law, and I will with all my heart seek him, and seek to do only those things that please him, so I can remain in his kingdom for the rest of my mortal life. Because it is only if you are in his kingdom, when you cross the threshold of mortality into eternity, that you can remain in his kingdom. Because if you are in his kingdom, when that time comes, yes, if you endure till the end of your mortal existence in his kingdom, you will be saved. And if you don't, and if you're not in his kingdom, when your time comes, when your grace period is up, then you will not be in his kingdom forever. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 18. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and that means the people of Judah and Israel, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, means that it shall be built upon the heap also. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and a voice of them that maketh merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be a few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children shall also be as formerly, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. You know, he did, our Heavenly Father, he did fulfill this word about the end of the 70th week. Well, I should say about the end of the 69th week, before the Messiah came onto the scene. After he brought them back, after the 70 years, up until that time of the 69th week that prophesied by Daniel the prophet, there were those faithful in Jerusalem. There were those blessed of Judah and Israel in the land that sought him with all their heart. There was a remnant, always. He always had his remnant. And he brought his people, he preserved them for that remnant, to bring about the seed of the Messiah. And there were those faithful, and we read about them in the New Testament. We read about the brothers, James and John, the brothers of Zebedee, who one said to the other, come, we have found the Messiah. Why? Because they were looking for the Messiah. They were the faithful. These are the ones who accepted the Messiah. These were the obedient of Judah and Israel. They were no longer called Jews. They did not practice Judaism, the Babylonian Talmudic Judaism that the scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites were practicing. They practiced the kingdom principles taught by the Messiah, the very principles that we're seeing here in the Word as we go through it, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. These were the obedient. And their posterity are the ones that we are reading about. The posterity, The chosen people are not the posterity of the disobedient, still practicing Babylonian Talmudic Judaism. No, their posterity in history were people like the Waldenses. They're the New Testament church that we read about, that Paul wrote to, that Paul nurtured, that were scattered. They're the ones who were obedient and listened to the Messiah, the words of the Messiah, and said, when you see these things, flee. They fled. Why? Because they were the obedient, and they were the posterity of the obedient. When we're looking for His chosen people today, we are not looking for a people who can identify themselves as Jews. We're not looking for a people who have renamed themselves and called themselves chosen people by virtue of their Jewishness, because they have discovered their Jewishness, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I would rather not have a drop of Jewish blood in me and be grafted in than to trust in the flesh and in a genealogy that I cannot know. He says, out of them, in verse 9, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be a few, and I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as formerly, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. That should be happening today with His people. Are you set apart for the world? Are you teaching your children righteousness? Are your wives in subjection to you? And if they're not, let them go. Let them go. But don't let wicked women rule over the man of God, because you will bring a curse upon yourself and your children. Trust in Yahuwah with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. And I know His word is true, and He is faithful, because He has done it in my life. These are the things that we should be practicing. These are the words we should be reading and applying to our own lives. He says, their children shall also be as formerly, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Yes, though they oppress us, like they oppressed, the Seventh-day Adventists down there in Waco, like they're oppressing Tony Alamo today, and whoever else they feel like oppressing, though they come after us, though they kill us, we will be established, and they will be punished, because this life is short. And whether the end come in 50 years or it come in 5 years for us personally, we must endure, and then we will be saved. And those that oppress us, they will not be saved. He says, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahuwah, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Are you his people? Is he your God? Behold, the whirlwind of Yahuwah goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. With fierce anger of Yahuwah shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. In the latter days you shall consider it. What are the latter days? Well, I believe that the last days were the days from the Messiah onward. And I believe these prophecies are for the people of those days and the people of today, that draw near to Him, that seek Him with all their heart. The posterity of the obedient. Yes, the posterity of the obedient may be some of them. There were thousands in that day that turned to the Messiah. There were thousands. I mean, He had 70 disciples at one time that He sent out to preach. And they reached thousands in Israel. Remember, He said, I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when the 70 weeks were up, yep, his ministry was over to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then the gospel went to the nations. It went to the Gentiles. And the New Testament was written in the language of the nations at that time, which was Greek, because the 70 weeks was up. The time had determined for his people in the flesh, Israel, was over. Now he's looking for a holy nation. Yes, the fruit, the posterity of the obedient. The posterity of the obedient are those who are grafted in and those who are grafted back in, whether they be of Jew, Gentile, Greek, it doesn't matter what. They have accepted the Messiah. They've entered into his kingdom. They said, "You are my God and my lawgiver, and I will do that which pleases you because I love you. And I love you because you loved me first. And your law requires that I love my neighbor as myself." Yes, and I will search your word to find out what you mean by "thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Because if I can't do it your way, then it's not worth doing. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. You can drop by there and email me. We'll be back after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Listening to Cross the Border. We're in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 20. Their children also shall be as formerly, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. He's going to punish our oppressors. Terrible things have happened to the people of God, his true remnant followers, over the centuries. They have been oppressed. Notice here, he says, I will punish those that oppress them, but realize that they are oppressed. So let's not think it a strange thing, or let's not say that, why should I follow the Creator? I will be oppressed. I'm going to tell you the truth is this, that suffering comes to all men, regardless. We all have our appointed suffering. Even the Messiah was perfected or matured through suffering. How much more us? He was sinless, yet he suffered and was matured by it, by suffering. We need it. If it was good for him, then it's much better for us. But we know we can have confidence that he will punish all that oppress us. You know, now I desire punishment for no man. I would rather that my oppressors repent. That's right. Because the Messiah said, pray for them that oppress you. So there's hope for them. I would not want anyone to suffer in hell for eternity. I would rather see them repent and share in the glory of His kingdom forever. Though I realize at the same time that most will not. They simply will not. So realize that oppression will come to the remnant, to those that follow Him. Suffering is allotted for every man. You can't escape it by running to Him, and you can't escape it by running away from Him. It will come. What really matters is what you allow that suffering to do to you. What kind of man will it make out of you? What kind of man will it reveal in you, that suffering? Will you curse God, or will you call on Him for comfort? What kind of man are you? And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. That's us, fathers, us godly men who seek a godly seed. That's us. He's talking about us. Are you going to approach near? Are you going to approach unto him? Who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahuwah? And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I love those words. I want to be his people, and I want him to be my God. He is my lawgiver. I am a part of his holy nation. Behold the whirlwind, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 23. Behold, the whirlwind of Yahuwah goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Yah... Did I do that again? Yes, I did. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of the heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 1. At the same time, saith Yahuwah, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. And I think if you're reading in the prophecies there, you'll find that the woman was given a time of rest in the wilderness. I think you can key this in to prophecy. You find these keys in prophecy, so you remember to look up the wilderness, and you'll find this reference here back to Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, let us go up to Zion unto Yahuwah our God. For thus saith Yahuwah, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahuwah, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind, the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come weeping, and with supplications, and I will lead them, and cause them to walk by the rivers of water in the straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahuwah, O ye nations, and declare unto the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. For the wheat, and for the wine, and for the oil, and for the young, and of the flock of the herd, and their souls shall be as watered garden, and they shall not sorrow at all any more. And I have to make a comment here. He talks about bringing them out of the north. Now, if you've been with me as we went through Jeremiah, he prophesied that the king of the north, and we learned that the king of the north was Babylon. Of course, from the south was Egypt, and Babylon came from the north of Israel. And of course, all of these things are a type of that which will come in the resurrection after the times of the Gentiles. Because those things are going to happen at the same time. When the times of the Gentiles ends, as prophesied by Daniel the prophet and the Messiah, the picture is this from Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which Daniel foretold, or which Daniel explained to us, interpreted, that's the word I was looking for, which Daniel interpreted, and he said that a great mountain representing the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, was going to come out of the sky, or out of the heavens, and it was going to strike the image, Mystery Babylon, in the feet, okay? And that's at the end, because the beginning of the image was the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar. He said, Thou, O king, art the head of gold. And as we went through history, we moved down the image to the feet, to the times of the ten toes, of the feet, and the times of the iron mingled with clay. And the kingdom of God, represented by a mountain coming out of the heavens, strikes the image in the feet, and it is obliterated. And the wind drives away the chaff, it's like powder, and the wind drives it away like the chaff of the threshing floor, so that there is no place found for them anymore. Okay? So these are the nations, these are the kingdoms of men. This does not represent all of the people, because a lot of people say, well, the leaves of the trees along the river will be for the healings of the nations. I had one man told me, he said, so see, the nations will be there. But he was getting it mixed up, because he was thinking that these nations, ethnos, was the same thing as kingdoms and governments. Yes, the leaves of the trees along the river of life will be for the healing of the nations. And that refers to the peoples and the families of the earth, not to the kingdoms of powers and governments. Those are abolished and blown away like the chaff of the threshing floor, so that no place is found for them. We have to differentiate between the governments, the beast governments of Mystery Babylon, the times of the Gentiles, or the times of the nations occupying Jerusalem until the times of the nations shall be fulfilled. We have to differentiate there. We have to rightly divide the Word of God and discern the difference there. And at that time, that is also the time when the last trump will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive at that time, and I believe that's several hundred years from now at least, then those who are alive and remain will be caught up into the spiritual realm, into the air, and so we shall ever be with Yahuwah, with our God. So this is a type, and the coming back, this is a type of that, and we can see that in these prophecies of Daniel, how that is a type. But literally and physically, in the flesh, on the earth, them coming out of the kingdoms of the north is them returning from Babylon. It does not refer to the Jews or what of Khazar persuasion or whatever they are, of the Babylonian Talmudic religion called Judaism being practiced today by those people. This is not a reference to people returning or coming out of Russia. In context, if you take the context of Jeremiah, the people that were captured by the king of the north, Babylon, returned from the north, Babylon. It's not as the futurists, the false prophets of the left behind rapture cult escapist persuasion believe. That's all fantasy. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 11. For Yahuwah hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he, referring to Babylon. And therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yahuwah for wheat and for wine and oil, and for the young of the flock and for the herd. And their soul shall be watered as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yahuwah. Thus saith the Lord. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. And here we're changing the gears. You can tell again, it's quite a different prophecy from the one that just ended there in verse 14. You can see that Jeremiah is definitely changing gears. And here's what happened. They were taken captive for 70 years, and then the prophecy came, and they returned to the land. Daniel got his prophecy of 2,300 days, and those were literal days, because if you read the prophecy, and you realize that he was given the prophecy in the first year of the reign of that king, and then you go over to what book is it? I can't remember, but it says in the sixth year of the reign of that same king began the walls to be rebuilt, and the temple was to be rebuilt. In 2,300 days is somewhere between 6 and 7 years. And what would have happened? And it says that the temple would be cleansed in 2,300 days, and it was. The temple was rebuilt, and then the first thing they would do before they would reinstitute the sacrifice would have a ceremonial cleansing of the temple, just as Daniel prophesied 2,300 days later, not years. A lot of the new prophets are all false. It was literally fulfilled in a literal 2,300 days. So Israel was back in the land 70 years later, and they were in the land for 490 years, all 400 to 500 years before the Messiah came. They were in the land, and all of these all these things that were prophesied here by Jeremiah came to pass. They had the peace, they had the bridegroom, they had the marrying, they had the rejoicing, they had the faithful. And of course, you always have the unfaithful. All of these things were fulfilled in that time of peace, which exceeded 400 years after they returned and rebuilt the temple and rebuilt the walls of the city. And they enjoyed these things that Jeremiah was prophesying for over 400 years, just as the prophet foretold. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And they did. I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yahuwah. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah. Now you can tell there's a definite changing here. This is a change in tenor of voice. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation. And it's a Ramah was the name of four places in Palestine. And bitter weeping, Rachel, weeping for her children. Now Rachel is a term that means woman, because it refers to the wife of Jacob. So it is the women of Jacob weeping for her children. Refuse to be comforted for her children because they are not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yahuwah. They shall come again from the land of the enemy, and there is a hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou to me, and I shall be turned, for thou art Yahuwah my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yes, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Ephraim, my dear son, a pleasant child, for since I spoke against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set upon thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to thee with these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about thy backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, or Yahuwah bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked, and behold, and my sleep was sweet upon me. Behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beasts. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, I will watch over them to build and to plant, saith Yahuwah. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity, and every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And these are good words here, and this is going to be a great place to start when we come back next time for Cross the Border. This is Nicholas. I'm asking you to visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and take advantage of the resources there. Catch up on these studies if you missed out the first hour today. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit heavy upon me. You should hear that word and take advantage of the other studies there. If you haven't gone through our study in Genesis, please do. And remember, there's nothing more important and that you cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and live forever. Until next time, and as always, hallelujah.
dusk again. 17 and a heart for change. Bob is calling out his name, but not yet. There's too much going on.